Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'd like to start off in a thank you guys for being here today and allowing me to share with you guys. This morning, I'm going to start off with sharing a story. Some of you guys may know this, some of you guys may not know this, but about a month after high school, I got into some pretty serious trouble, and I ended up being sentenced to a term of 13 years in state prison. And during those 13 years, I went through a lot and I experienced a lot. And this morning, I'm going to share one of those experiences with you guys. There was a time during my incarceration that I had to participate in a cell extraction. And a cell extraction is the removal of inmates by force by the officers. And and the most common reason that a cell extraction occurs is inmates feel that their rights are being violated, or they're not getting something that they have come in. So it's a form of protest. And in this particular situation, we felt that we weren't getting what we had coming. So we decided to do this cell extraction. Now here it is. Me and my cellie, we're in the hole. We're in administrative segregation. You know, we're already in trouble. We're already out of general population. And we're in the hole. We had some pretty serious charges. We had some assault, some staff assault charges. Both of us had charges against the staff. So we're in the hole. We're waiting for transfer to the SHU, which is a maximum security lockdown. So, you know, here it is. We get the word, you know, that we need to participate in the cell extraction. And so we talk about it and we plot it out. We say, okay, here, you know, let's get ready. And so we cover up our window, you know, we block our window so the cops can't see in. We turn off our lights and we're sitting there in darkness, you know. And the purpose of the window cover is when the cops can't see you, it becomes a safety issue. You know, they don't know if you've escaped. They don't know if you're causing harm to yourself or you guys are harming each other. And so it forces their hand to have to come into the cell and to pull you out. I remember we got our t-shirts and we had to wet them. We wet them and we put them over our face, you know, cover our mouth and our nose to try to filter any chemical attacks that the staff would use to get us to comply with their orders and to get us out of there. So here it is. We're getting ready and we put these masks on. And, we were the fourth cell. So there was a couple of cells. So we're listening, we're waiting, you know, we're just kind of just waiting there in the darkness, waiting for them to come to our cell. And so they were going in there and they were spraying, you know, they got different types of chemicals that they use. And so they start spraying the first cell and they go in there and they pull them out. It takes about 6 minutes. They go in the next cell, same thing, spray them, pull them out. You know, some of the cells, some of the guys were combative and some of them weren't. Some of them, they got sprayed and they went and they cuffed up. And so the fourth cell, they come to us. They come to our cell. And, you know, what they want is they call us and they say, you know, they want us to take down our window cover. They want to be able to have a visual. They want to see us. And then they want us to turn around through a trace slot. We have a trace slot on our door that they give us our food. They want us to cuff up. They want us to turn around, cuff up, and they want to pull us out and make sure that we're okay. And so they come to our cell and they call us by name. And they call us, you know, Rostro Reyes, take down your window cover, turn around and cuff up. And we don't respond, you know. We're sitting there, we got our window covered. We get our mattress. We're holding our mattress against the window and the trace slot. So just to keep them from trying to do anything to us. And they call us again, Rostro Reyes, remove your window cover, turn around and cuff up. And we don't respond. So we're sitting there, and all of a sudden we hear the keys, you know, to the trace slot. I'm like, here they come. I don't know what they're gonna do. I've never participated in a cell extraction before. It's my first time. So I'm just getting ready. I'm holding the mattress, and the trace slot. I hear it, you know. I hear the keys, and I feel something, you know. And so they haven't just come on my side because my side is on this side. We're both holding it, and so I'm struggling with the officer. You know, he's. I realized, you know, during the extraction that it was a stick. They have this long stick. And so what they do is they move it in and they get enough room so they could administer whatever it is that they want to administer to try to remove us from the cell. And so, you know, finally, after struggling with them, I'm like, I kind of like, let's just see what they're doing, you know. And so he opens it up, and then there's a just this spray, they just let these chemicals go, right? And so I remember thinking like, all right, you know, and it hits all the side of the wall. I'm like, this ain't too bad, you know. Hits all the side of the wall, and it comes in, and we're in a 2-man cell. It's a confined area. So the chemicals, they just kind of go in this, you know, just kind of circulate in the cell. And they close it back up. And then they give it a couple seconds, and they wait for the chemicals to take an effect on us. And they call us again. Rostro, Reyes, you know, take down your window cover, turn around and cuff up. And, you know, we don't respond. We're just sitting there just, you know, in the dark. You know, and in the beginning it's kind of exciting because we're like, you know, kind of, you know, we're in the hole anyways, you know. So they give it some more time, and they say, you know, they call us again. They keep calling us. Rostro Reyes, you know, turn around, cuff up. And here we go. Oh man, here we go. You know, see what they got. And they come in with a stick again. I'm like, you know what? I'm not gonna waste my strength. You know, I'm gonna wait. So I let them. I'm like, do what you're gonna do, right? And they throw this canister in the cell, and I don't know what it was. All I know is they close it, and I look back, I hear something hit the floor, clink clink clink, and I just hear, and so I look at my cellie, and he's holding the mattress by himself, and I look under the bed, and it's under the bed, just these chemicals just coming out, you know, and I'm like, all right, I didn't know what to do. I'm like, well, it's under there, you know. Whatever, you know. So I go back and I hold the mattress, and they keep calling us, Rostro Reyes, remove your window cover, turn around and cuff up. And we're unresponsive. We don't want to. And okay, so we keep going. They keep spraying us. They keep, you know, and then they end up blasting us. They have these. They open it up, and there's a bang like a shot. And you know, it startled me. They have this barrel, this gun, and they actually shoot in the cell, but what it does, it explodes, and your cell is just full of white smoke. All these chemicals that they want to pull us out. They want us to succumb to the chemicals and to be weak, and they want to come in, and they're supposed to come in and pull us out, but they keep going, they keep spraying us, they keep blasting us. And my cellie, you know, I told him, hey, there's a procedure. I've seen it done before. Usually they come in, they spray a couple times, and they pull you out. In this situation, that they didn't. They kept on getting us. They kept on blasting us. So after a while, they threw a canister, and I look at my cellie, and I go pick it up, and he's holding the mattress, and I pick it up, and I put it in the toilet, and it filters it. And so I'm like, oh, cool, you know. I think, you know, genius idea right here, you know. You know, and they do it again. They spray us. They blast us. They shoot in there. And this last time, they throw in a canister, and I'm getting it. I'm filtering it through the toilet. And I don't know if me and myself were already tired, you know, and maybe my cellie's arms are getting weak. But the mattress starts to lean down, you know. And these are like some flimsy. They're not like mattresses like at our house, you know. These are like, you know, they're just like a sleeping bag kind of mattress. and so the mattress leans down. And you know, these officers aren't the smallest guys. These cell extraction teams aren't the small. They don't send the smallest guys to go in there and pull you out of these cells, you know. So these guys got some size on them. So he's able to see. He looks over, and he sees what I'm doing, you know. He sees that I'm over here I'm filtering this canister. And so he sees my cellie by himself. And so he opens up the trace slot, and he goes in there, and he sprays. And these aren't your little typical little keychain, you know, spray can. They're like little mini fire extinguishers. And so they blast him right in his face. And he has his mask on. And he drops the mattress. And our cells tore up. We got white chemicals. We got orange chemicals. We got stuff coming out the bunk. You know what I mean? And so he starts pacing the cell back and forth. You know, he starts pacing the cell back and forth, and he starts panicking. And I'm trying to tell him, I'm like, calm, like don't breathe, you know, like, just wait. Well, don't breathe the chemicals, right? And he takes off his mask. He takes off his mask and he's, I mean, you know, it's a t-shirt with water. So he takes it off, so now the window, we're exposed. The cops are, you know, they see that he's been hit, and they're like, Reyes, come to the door, cuff up. And I didn't want him to do it. I'm like, hold up, you know. And he kind of like Supermans it and throws his hands right through the trace line, cuffs him up. You're not supposed to do it. Like, you're supposed to go backwards, you know. And so he goes in there and they cuff him up. And they tell him, they're yelling. And they're looking at me and they're like, Reyes, get on your knees. You know, they want you to get on the floor. And he gets on his knees and they're looking at me and they're like, Rostro, come to the door and cuff up. And I don't want him, you know. I don't want to comply. They keep calling me, Rostro, come to, and here myself, he's choking, he's gagging. He got cuffs on. You know, he's about to throw up. And they keep calling me, Rostro, you know, come to the door, cuff up. And I'm stuck because my pride doesn't want to let me go to that door and doesn't want me to put those cuffs on and I don't want it. I'm like, man. Then my Sally, he's over here, you know, choking, can't breathe. And he tells me, he says, por favor, you know, he tells me, please. And so I'm like, man. I still didn't want to give up, and I felt bad, and I take a knee. I take a knee, and the cops are like, they're finally like, okay, well, I guess they'll take a knee. So they're like, Rostro, prone out. They want me to prone out. They want me to get on the floor, and they want me to put my body down. And I'm like, all right, you know, I get down, I get on the floor, and they're telling me to take my mask off. And I was like, all right, we're done. I'm done. You know, I'm taking, I comply. I take my mask off. As soon as I took my mask off, I felt so bad for my cellie. I felt like throwing up. You know, you can't breathe. We're in there with all these chemicals. Like, you know, like, that it was pretty extreme. It was a pretty extreme case. And so they come in and they open the door and they have these shields, these plastic shields, and they run in and they get on top of him. And then they get on top of me, and they cuff me, and they get my feet. They restrain my feet. They pull us out of our cell. They pull us out of our cell. They wash us off. They put us in the shower. They wash us off. They take us for a medical evaluation. And they come in. They remove everything in our cell. They remove our mattresses. They remove, you know, anything that we had. It was completely empty, and they spray it down with water. And so we go back to a dripping wet cell, and we're like, all right, whatever, you know. So we were in there, and those chemicals, they get in your pores, and your body's just on fire. You know, I don't know if it was the adrenaline, but afterwards our skin is burnt. We're burning up from head to toe, you know, and the water reactivates it. So if you wash your hands or whatever it may be, you know, I remember that night I couldn't sleep. You know, for a couple nights we couldn't sleep because we didn't have a mattress, so we're sleeping on metal. But the moisture between your back and your hip or anywhere there's moisture can be created, it just reactivates it. And so I remember the next day the lieutenant comes by. And he comes to our cell and says, hey, how you guys doing? And he had a little smile on his face. I said, we're doing pretty good. And he says, man, I'll give it to you guys. You guys were in there for 43 minutes. He said, that's the longest we've ever had inmates stay in the cell with that much chemicals. And I'm like, I said, you know, let me ask you a question. He's like, what's up? I said, how come? I go, don't you guys have a procedure? You're supposed to spray us, blast us, and you come in and get us. And he says, yeah, but we were notified by the warden. Because of your assault charges, the warden said, you guys are either coming out in a body bag or you're going to comply. And I'm like, oh, great. Here it is. I'm waiting for them to come in. They had no plans of coming in. You know, we were either going to die or we were going to comply. You know, and thinking back, thinking back, I was thinking about it, you know, isn't that how we are? You know, isn't that how we are when God is calling us? You know, God is calling us and we're like, we don't want to. We don't want to give up. We don't want to give in. You know, I didn't want to surrender. And we don't want to surrender. And we're only harming ourselves. The longer I stayed in that cell, the longer they continued to spray me, the longer I was going to suffer. You know, here it is, this guy, he's my cell, he's supposed to be my homie, and he's over here about to die. You know, he got his handcuffs on, he can't breathe, he's choking and gagging, and I still don't want him. I still don't want to give in. I still didn't want to surrender. You know, my pride says no. And did you notice that my pride said, okay, I'm gonna bow down, you know, I'm gonna do it my way. When those cops came in, when they were telling me to go, I didn't go and cuff up like they wanted me to. You know, I held back. I said no. My pride says I'm gonna surrender, but I'm gonna do it my way. I'm gonna get on my knees and you guys come in and get me, you know. And isn't that how we are with God? You know, here we come to church and we do these things and we say, you know, we say, I surrender to you. But we still hold on to things. We want to do it our way. We don't want to surrender everything over to God. You know, the hurt in our families, the issues we got going on in us, you know, we want to hold on to them and we continue to struggle with them over and over. But why do we do this? Why do we do this today? You know, God is calling us, and we don't have to live a life of hurt. The wise thing would have been for me to just go over there, comply to the orders, turn around, cuff up, no hurt, no pain. But we wait. Like I waited. We wait. And our hearts become so hard that we don't care that we're hurting ourselves. You know, we don't care that we're hurting the people who love us or the people who are around us. We get so caught up in ourselves. You know, and how many of us have lived that life? Or how many of us are living that life right now? You know, we hear him. He keeps on calling us. He uses loved ones. He uses circumstances. He uses our friends, people in our lives. You know, he uses them to point us to him, but we don't want to. We're not ready. You know, we may not be in a physical concrete cell today, but when we're not living in complete surrender before God, you know, we're not free. You know, when we choose to do it on our own, and we're not free. You know, we're in bondage to the enemy, the world, and the desires of our flesh. You see, we all have this God-shaped hole in our hearts, and we turn to everything to try and fill it. You know, we go to people. We go to people to meet our needs. We jump from relationship to relationship. You know, we turn to the world to be entertained. You know, we self-medicate with drugs and alcohol to try and feel better, try to ease the pain within. You know, we busy ourselves with work. We strive for this financial success that we believe will make us happy. You know, we stuff all these things into our lives, you know, but I'm telling you, these things will never satisfy. These things will never fill that void in your life. These things will never fill that God-shaped hole in your heart. And I know this for a fact. You see, I'm a living testimony of the transformation and power of God. You know, you see, something was missing in me, and I went to people. I went to gangs. You know, I was a womanizer at a very young age, you know, looking for something that wasn't there. I used drugs and I was an alcoholic. I went after my money and made it illegally, both out of prison and in prison. And none of those things made me content. You know, none of those things brought me joy and peace, you know, and fullness in my heart that only Christ can bring to us. You know, those things only brought guilt, shame, and hurt to my family, to myself. You know, but praise God for his forgiveness. You know, praise God for his mercy and his grace. You know, you see, God will never give up on us. You know, Friends, spouses, and even parents may give up on you. But God never will. You know, God offers us a new life in Christ. You know, we can be transformed. You know, we don't have to be the same person anymore. You know, we can be free from the chains of addiction, you know, the grip of pride, and we can be free from the shadows of depression. There's freedom in Christ. You know, John 8, verse 32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Yeah. Maybe some of you guys don't understand what it means to be free. Maybe some of you guys say, you know, what do you mean to be free? What does it mean to be free in Christ? You know, in John 8, Jesus is speaking to the people. And he says, you know, he says, abide in my word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And right away, the people say, you know, like, what are you talking about? They're saying, we're descendants of Abraham. We've always been free. We've never been in bondage. You know, how can you tell us that we'll be free? And kind of like us, you say, like, what are you talking about freedom? You know, I'm free. But Jesus says, you know, anybody who lives in sin is a slave to sin. You see, until we come to God with our whole heart and we let go of our burdens and we let go of our pride and we acknowledge that our ways are not his ways and we ask him, you know, Lord, help me to live according to your ways. All of a sudden, you know, chains begin to break. Worry and anxiety are taken away. Joy and hope begin to manifest in our hearts. You know, thought patterns and thought processing begin to change. And a light begins to shine within you. Trust and have faith. Trust and have faith, and God will transform you from the inside out. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, today, as Christians, as followers of Christ, Can we say that about ourselves? Or are we still the same person? You know, we're supposed to be in Christ. And to be in Christ is to have a personal relationship with him. You see, I have a personal relationship with my wife. I see her every day. I talk to her every day. And I stay away from anything that would be detrimental to our marriage. And when I mess up, I do something wrong, I go to her and I apologize. I try to. And then, but the thing is, like, and that's the same type of relationship we're supposed to have with God. You know, we're supposed to be talking to him daily through the word and through prayer. You know, we're supposed to be aware of our actions and our thoughts and making sure that nothing in our walk is causing harm between our relationship. Because when you have a personal relationship with Christ, you know, you're a changed person. You see, so when we're in Christ, we're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Meaning we're not viewing and putting the same images in our minds that we once did. You know, you know we're not putting on that TV and watching the things that we once did. You know, we're not putting these images that are not pure in our minds, and we're not depending on the world to bring us satisfaction. You know, we're not gossiping and tearing each other down with our words. You know, those things are gone. You know, we're in Christ. Those things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, we're a new creation. I'm no longer the same man that I once was. You know, we no longer put the same images in our minds that draw us away from Christ. We no longer feed the flesh the things that it desires. You know, gratifying the flesh only brings forth death. And we no longer meditate on things that are not pleasing to the Lord. We're a new creation. Old things have passed away, and we have become new. And the people in our lives should see that in us. You know, I said we don't meditate on things that are not pleasing to the Lord. I didn't say that we don't think about things that are not pleasing to the Lord, because if I said I had all my thoughts in check, I'd be lying. You see, the enemy whispers and tries to plant thoughts in my mind all day. You know, but through the word of God, I'm able to, I have an understanding of his schemes and his tactics, so I'm able to fight back. You know, the Bible says that the enemy walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, right off the bat, I understand I got to be on my toes. Sun up, sun down, I got to be alert. You know, because there's a spiritual enemy trying to kill me. It may sound extreme. It may sound extreme, but it's the truth. The enemy wants to separate us from God. You know, he is here to steal, kill, and destroy. His desire is to take the truth from us. You know, he wants to steal our salvation. He wants to kill us and destroy our families. You know, we need to be engaged in this battle. We need to understand the schemes and lies that the enemy so cunningly tries to feed us. You know, we need to be aware of what Satan has done in our minds and not only remove him, but resist him. You know, because he is relentless, he attacks our minds constantly. He wants us to believe lies like we're not good enough. He wants us to believe lies like we're unlovable or we're failures or we could never be changed. You know, he wants us to feel hopeless. He wants us to meditate on our fleshly desires. You know, he wants us to believe that tomorrow is promised to us. You know, you could change tomorrow. You know, you could change tomorrow. You know, do it tomorrow. You know, you're too young to change now. You know, God is going to ruin your life and it's going to be boring. You know, lies and more lies. You know, tomorrow's not promised to us. But the enemy wants you to believe that. Tomorrow is not promised to us. You know, the enemy wants you to believe that so you can die in your sin and he can steal your soul. You know, we need to fight back. You know you're being attacked and know when you're being attacked. You know, we have the power of God on our side. We have Christ in us. You know, the enemy has already been defeated. And we need to stand our ground. And that ground is the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4-5. It says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see, he's telling us here, as followers of Christ, we are in warfare. We either believe it or you don't, you know. But we can't pick and choose what's true in the Bible. You know, this is truth. The Bible, the Word of God, is truth. And we need to be living accordingly. You know, you see, Sunday we come to church and we feel pretty good. You know, we feel okay. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday come, and by Saturday, we're all beat up. You know, but we're getting sucker punched all week. You know, and we want to blame stress from work. We want to blame our spouses. You know, we want to blame our children and our finances. We blame everyone except the enemy. You know, we need to acknowledge when we're being attacked. If we don't know we're being attacked, how can we defend ourselves? You know? All those shots from the enemy are just gonna keep hitting us. We're gonna bleed out. We're gonna get weak, and we're gonna lose our strength, and we're just gonna be some beat up, weak Christians, you know. and that's not who we are, you know. We're soldiers of Christ. We're soldiers of God, and we're conquerors. You know, we need to lead our families. We need to protect our marriages, and we need to guide our children. You see, the enemy has no authority over us. The enemy has no power over us. We only give the enemy power over us when we believe his lies. You know? We need to know that we're at war and know that it's a spiritual battle. So it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see, through God, we have the ability to pull down strongholds. You know, and so what are those strongholds? You know, strongholds are these areas in our minds that the enemy has been building for years and years. They're lies that the enemy gets us to try to believe. You like there's no God, or don't trust people because they'll hurt you, or you're unlovable, or you have no worth, or you could never be forgiven, or that you need that drink. You see, the enemy puts that over and over in your mind since for years and years, and you start to believe it. You start living accordingly, and you start taking on those identities, you know? Or like you start saying stuff like, that's just who I am. That's just how I am, you know? You know, but with the renewed mind, you know, with the renewed mind of Christ, God starts to pull down those strongholds. You know, God starts to pull down those lies that the enemy has entrenched in our minds, and they are no longer strongholds. You know, we don't have to believe we are who the enemy says that we are. You know, and that's a big part of having freedom. You know, so from strongholds, it goes to casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So imaginations, you know, imaginations are the thoughts and images and the thoughts and images that the enemy gets us to try to think and believe and imagine. You know, so we need to take the things that are not the things that are in our minds that are, if they don't line up with the word of God, you know, they need to be cast down. We need to remove them from our minds. You know, we need to be aware of the thoughts that we entertain. And this last part where it talks about, you know, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You know, what are the high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God? You know, it's our pride. When I say I don't need God, I'm exalting myself. You know, God's here and we need God. But when we say I don't need God in my life, you know, we're exalting ourselves above God. Philosophies and theories of men, you know, the Big Bang Theory and all this stuff that they got going on out there, you know, we need to remove those things from our minds. Those are just, all these things are the enemy uses these things to keep us distracted. He uses these things to keep us confused and entangled in his lies. You know, we need to fight back. We need to get in the word. Meditate on scripture, you know, capture your thoughts and process your thoughts. You know, process your thoughts. Know where your thoughts are coming from. Are they coming from God? Are they coming from the enemy? Where are they coming from? You know, when I was in that cell, and they're shooting these chemicals in, they're spraying us and they're blasting us, and the chemicals, they got all over our body, right? From head to toe, our bodies are on fire. You know, water made it worse. Water didn't take away that discomfort. You know, couldn't sleep. You know, restless all night. It was a bad feeling. You know, it was a bad experience to know that, you know, you're just in pain and there's nothing you can do. And not even water will ease the pain. And y'all want to say something right now, you know, That's nothing compared to what it would be like to be in hell, you know, nothing. But you know what? Praise God for his forgiveness. You know, praise God for our salvation. Praise God for the hope that he gives us. You see, our hope is different from the world's hope. Our hope is in Christ. You know, and I encourage you guys to never give up. You know, your marriage is falling apart. There's hope. Your children are being disobedient and caught up in the desires, all the nasty desires of the world. There's hope. You know, there's people in this church. There's people in this body today that were praying for me for 7 years. You know, 7 years they were praying for somebody that they didn't even know. And the world says, he's an atheist. You know, he's in prison. He's a gang member. He's an addict. You know, there's no hope for him. You know, but people in this body, followers of Christ, loved ones, they say, my hope is in Christ. You know, my hope is in Christ. My hope is not in Marcus. My hope is not in this person. My hope is in Christ. And they trust and believe and have faith. And you know what? This month, it's two years that I've been surrendered to God. You know, this month is 2 years that I've been sober. You know what? In 2 years, you know, this month is 2 years that I've had freedom. And I'm never going back. You know, I'm not talking about prison. I'm talking about spiritual bondage. You know, and I encourage you guys. I encourage you guys, surrender your whole heart. Surrender your whole heart. Don't be like me. You know, don't hold on. And don't do it your way. Do it God's way. You know, I also encourage you guys to know that there's a spiritual battle. You know, be aware of the attacks. Know when you're being attacked. Know the word. You know, and lastly, I want to say, never give up. Never give up on your spouse. Never give up on your children. Never give up on your loved ones. You know, our hope is not in them. Our hope is in Christ. And when our hope is in Christ, we cannot fail. You know, God will not let us down. You know, and I thank you guys for your time. And let me share with you guys. And I pray today that if you're holding on to something in your heart, if you're holding on to things and you don't want to surrender, I didn't want to surrender. If you're holding on to things, then let them go. You know, you only cause harm to yourself. I pray that you let it go today. I pray you let it go right now. You know, I pray that you pray to God and say, Lord, I'm tired of struggling with the same things I've been struggling with. Lord, I'm tired of dealing with the same things I've been dealing with. Tell God, Lord, I surrender it all to you. I don't want it anymore, Lord. Take it away from me. You know, give it to God. We don't have to hold on to these things. You know, there's another life for us. You know, there's freedom in Christ. You know, we don't have to be, you know, chained down to these things that are going on in our mind, these things that the world expects from us. You know, pray to God. Ask him to take them away. When you don't want these things in your life and you don't want these stumbling blocks in your life, you know, you give it to God. If you truly want change, if you truly desire a difference in your life, if you truly want to be a man or woman that God calls you to be able to minister to your family, to be able to be strong, you know, give it to God. Surrender your whole heart. Not like me. I didn't want to give in. I was like, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it my way. Don't do it. Don't do it our way. You know, let's do it God's way. You know, put your trust and faith and your hope in Christ. And there's a different life for us. You know, we can have peace. You know, there's an unshakable peace in my heart. Nobody can take that from me. You know, nobody can take that from me. I have joy that people, you know, until you experience it, you know, until you have it, you'll never want to let it go. And I'm telling you, the only way to get that is giving your whole heart to God. Come to him, repent, ask for forgiveness. Say, Lord, man, I'm sorry. You know, and I do want change. I do want to be the man that you call me to be, you know, and he will do it. But we need to come to him with our whole heart. You know, we need to say, Lord, you know, and be sincere, you know, and I pray that all of us, we have boldness, that we have courage, that we are able to go out and minister to the people that we're around in our workplaces, you know, out in the world. You're at the gas station, wherever you are at, you know, share the truth, you know, because you don't know what that seed is going to do in that person. You don't know what those words of encouragement are going to do for that person. God, you know, when we're in line and we're in obedience with Christ, God uses us in a major way. And a lot of us, we miss out on that blessing of blessing others, you know. But, you know, with that said, I thank you guys for being here. I thank you guys for giving me the time and allowing me to share with you guys. I bless, you know, God bless you guys.